it's been a long time that I've been able to share with you through the years. I think since Paul Tittle's been skinny, many years ago. Maybe my memory's bad.
Yeah.
You know, though, I did thank those who were in the service. I think, too, on a very serious note, I'd like to thank Paul for even being in politics. We need Christians there. And, you know, I would beat my head on a rock if I were doing that, and you may feel that way too, Paul, but I hope you know that there's people praying for you, and you need to represent Christ well in that field. So I'm proud of you doing that and being a part of something that, you know, there's very little positive about what's going on in government. So I think we need to keep backing him in prayer and trying to figure out how we can make a difference, and he actually has an opportunity to do some of that. So I am thankful for that. A couple things that just to remind you of, if any of you want to continue the journey, I always take a group of men to Canada. We have a camp up there 27 miles on the Montreal River, and there's no internet connection, there's no phone availability. I don't think they let people named Baldwin come. I don't think they let him out of the country because he's got too many things, they have, you know, too many processes. I don't want to be at the border like for 2 days trying to get through. But if you're not Baldwin, you can join me if you'd like. Really, it's an extremely low key. Did we lose it? My mic's there. That battery.
Blank.
Wow, you're good. It really is kind of a low-key thing. What happens is we get together and I do kind of a man thing up there, which is, we'll one time a day we'll stop, I'll open the Bible, and just hour and a half we'll just talk, and then the rest of the day you hike, fish, whatever you want with other guys, and go do it. So it's really more of a relational thing. It isn't really a program thing as much. And I find men, you know, need that. They need to get away and just not have all the distractions. And so you're welcome to join us. Information to our Nicolet Bible Institute. Love that program here where we work with college kids and teach them the Bible, teach them how to serve. You can find information online. And let's see if Baldwin will let me keep this. No.
Big Brother's always listening.
I understand. NSA, I know what it means. However, I've been able to avoid their radar until now. For some reason. All right. I have these little ears, and I usually shake these things off while I'm talking. Weirdness. The other thing I appreciate you guys is the fact that I can always go into some pretty deep stuff with you, and you allow me to do that. And there are two ways to do these things. You know, I mean, it's important that we talk about the important things. And really, I've been with you so many years that throughout the year now, as I'm thinking, I just think, well, I need to start working on that for the faith, man. It's just because of the fact that you're a group that I can identify with and a group that I am praying that God will actually grab a hold of you and change the world with you. And when you look around, and of course, I just made fun of Baldwin. And however, you know, you got guys like Tittle and others. All of you, if I could know all of your professions, I really believe that God's planted you there. And you need to keep looking for how God will use you there. And that's what's important. And I find that very cool, how the body operates that way, and how guys like me, my part of the body is to get up and teach and, you know, rebuke and encourage and that kind of stuff. And your part might be a politician or something else. And that's what we have to take seriously. Is how God will use us the way he made us and with the opportunities. Sometimes things get way too complicated. If you were listening last night, I tried to take Christianity and give you some three irrefutable laws and say, look, it's like the law of gravity and all that stuff. These are just in place. Either Either abide by them or be frustrated. But when you understand the law of liberty and you can live in the fact that God loves you and it's because of your neediness, and when you start to understand that you live by love, you readjust your life for other people. And when you understand there's a bad, good, better, best, and you start choosing best, I'm telling you, life gets a whole lot better. Because that's the way we're made, and now you're working within the context of the laws that God gave us. Then we try and complicate it. I was reading this, and this is where I need Tittle's help, because it's a politic thing. What in the world is the politics of flexible subjectivity? You know? Yeah. You know, sometimes you read stuff. I was reading through some things on politics and government, and I read this treat, you know, and I thought, I don't even know what this is. And yet it went on page after page after page about things I had no idea about. Interesting. And you wonder why people turn off. It's like, did we just make that complicated? Yeah, we did. And sometimes I think people think Christianity is complicated. This guy I wouldn't back for anything. He was a Marxist, but he said one good thing. He said, don't fear death so much, but rather an inadequate life. You know, sometimes we look forward and say, man, I don't want to die. Well, what about fearing the idea of having an inadequate life instead? I mean, isn't it possible for us to use our lives for something that actually matters? Or are we going to end up being these accidental blobs of protoplasm that, you know, evolution would like us to believe happen? What we need to do again is kind of boil it down to the simple. So this morning, what I want to do is give you some real practical things to do. We started off kind of uncovering things, and last night it was the irrefutable laws, and you can fall in there. I just want to give you some practical things that we need to work on and make it very simple if I can. This simple allows us to experience significance and security. If you've been with me a lot, you've understood I've always told you that in your life, the most important thing you will try and achieve is to be significant. And we do that in all different ways. We try and do it through fame and fortune and rich and family, and we want to be significant. Every human being has that in them. The problem is you cannot do anything to be significant. The way you become significant is the law of liberty that I talked about. You understand your neediness. I am significant today because I am a child of the King. And how did you get that status? Because I'm needy. And He decided to meet my needs. See, that's my significance. Significance actually comes from, it's given to you, you cannot earn it. And every time you try and earn it, I want to warn you about this, this is so important to grasp. Every time you try and earn significance, you will wear yourself out and be frustrated because you cannot get it that way. It is given to you as a gift. Same with security. There is no way that you will ever have enough money in the bank to be secure, I promise. There is no way. Some of you are thinking, one day I'll get married, but I'm waiting until I'm ready. You won't ever be ready. There will never be enough money. There will never be enough. That's not going to happen. And not only that, if something would happen in our nation where all of a sudden the dollar would crash, whatever else it would be, you'll see. It's not secure. Money is not secure. Who is secure? Yeah, thank you. That's it. Right there. One word. So as His child, I'm okay. Regardless of what happens in the world. See, that's security. The two things I want to give to my family is significance and security. The two things I want to give this ministry, significance and security. But I cannot give them to them. They are gifts from God as I live right. So this morning I want to talk about what does it look like to live right. I have the, and I'm going to keep the pottery thing in front of me here throughout this morning. Because that's so significant to me. God tells us that if I'm a piece of clay, and I am, the significance in my little lump of clay is what the potter does with me. That's my significance. And so I need to be focused on what the potter will do with me. Not me, what I do with it, but what he does with it. Not only that, if you love science, and I do, actually my educational degree is in science and education, And I love the idea of God making us out of clay. It's really, and you want to trace that thing down? I mean, it's very, very interesting. That, do you know that all of the amino acids that are necessary for life can be found in a scoop of dirt? that if you were to take the basic amino acids from your body and take a lump of clay and take the amino acids from there, they'd be identical. I am not suggesting you go eat clay. What I am suggesting is that that's very interesting since God made us out of clay. And then he goes, and he basically, there's a study a couple of years ago that said that scientists found this amazing, that when you and I die and our bodies rot, it goes back to a substance that's very, very, well, it is clay. It's similar to clay. And it's like, no kidding. That's what I came from. I'm kind of a living, breathing pile of dirt. This is what I am. You know, without God, this thing goes back to where it was, this physical body. And that's what we're talking about. There's these two kingdoms. There's the pile of dirt kingdom, and there's the eternal kingdom. One is ruled by a prince, and one is ruled by a king. One goes on forever, one is temporal. One is a place of war, the other a place of peace. We've got to understand those two kingdoms. And in the two kingdoms, we started with that in the first night, and then last night I told you the irrefutable laws of the kingdom. And now we're looking again at, okay, what are some of those practical things? Well, one of the easiest things for me to understand is that if I'm going to be significant and I'm going to be secure, I just need to let the potter do what he wants with me. Because it's his job to make sure I'm significant and secure, not mine. He gave me a set of talents. He gave me a set of abilities. You know what? Again, I just love the fact that God, through the Bible, used donkeys to speak for him. And you know what I'm sure of, too? If I brought a donkey right here today and he was speaking, you'd pay better attention. Because that would be weird. But I tell you what, if you understood all of that my non-capabilities or whatever, you'd be amazed, too, that God would use it. You know, I grew up in a Chicago public school, and I honestly never did a bit of homework, never read a book. I hated school. Went to Wheaton College, played football there. That's why I went there. I didn't go for school. I had to take a degree. I did education. Can't spell. You know, I remember I was one time, one of the professors at Wheaton was, you know, you have to take this, I don't know why, but you have to take this spelling test in order to get your degree in education. The 1,000 most misspelled words, you got to pass it. I flunked it like 5 times. Different words. And then the guy grabbed me one day and said, you know, Dave, you know, you can't spell. No kidding. Thank you. I'll take a note of that. You know, can't spell. And he goes, so you need to carry a dictionary around. And I remember looking at this professor saying, can I tell you something? If you can't spell, dictionaries don't help. Because you got to know how to spell to look it up. So I prevented that system. Hello? You know, one of the most important things to realize is that, really, I think it's a joke in some respects, that God allows me to do something that I just love to do. I love to teach. But I may be the dumbest teacher you ever met in your life when it comes to all the technical stuff. Sometimes my wife will sit in the back. She's very technical. And I can see her cringe. Because I just used a word wrong, or I made up a word, or I misspelled a word, or I missaid a word. I put them in the wrong order. That's why I like talking to men. You could care less. Mostly. It's interesting that a guy who spent his life hating education, rather doing anything else, ended up starting a college, doing education, all this kind of stuff. And if you think I did that because I really know what I'm doing, you're wrong. But I learned something. I learned that as I walk with God, as I apply the laws, I mean, there is a best that I need to do for me. Just because I can't spell does not give me the excuse to be somebody who doesn't even work at it, or, you know, that's not it. But the bottom line is, it's amazing to me that God will use someone like me to do what I'm doing today, because I am not qualified. There are so many more people qualified far greater than I am. And you might say, quit demeaning yourself. Really, I'm not. I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm just telling you who I am. And I am almost amused at the fact that I get to do what I do. But see, I can never take credit for it either. I have to say, God, that's something else you're doing. This is very cool. You see, what I've learned is that it's the potter's responsibility to do this, not mine. I need to be faithful to the potter. And I want to talk about, you know, what does that mean? As we look ahead, the one word that always pops out to me is intentionality. I need to be intentional about what goes on in my life. There is too many of us that have things on automatic pilot. We need to be intentional. What is important in life? What is the good, better, best part? What is best in life? Is it best that you sit and watch television for 3 hours a night? You know, I'm telling you no. So what do you need to do? You need to be intentional about making a plan to do something else. I don't know how many of you ever read the book by Gordon MacDonald on brain trees. Anyway, it's on time management. And basically, Gordon MacDonald basically said this. Unplanned time always goes towards your weakness. What he's saying is this. You're not intentional about what goes on. So what happens is, you just don't get anything done because you're not intentional. All right, you know, what's important in life? You know, well, relationships. The law of liberty, law of love. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you know what, if it's important, what's the number one thing that's important? When Jesus was asked what's important, what did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind. All right, how am I being intentional about that? Because if I'm just waiting for that to happen, it won't. I remember once in class, I had a girl raise her hand, and I was talking about being in the Bible, being intentional. She says, well, I don't want to be like you hypocrites who just don't feel like being in the Bible, but you open it anyway. And I said, you need to open it anyway. Why? Because you need to be intentional about being in God's Word. What are you doing? Waiting to feel like you need to be in God's Word? Are you waiting for you to accidentally get into God's Word? Accidentally learn something? What's wrong with intentionality here? Why don't we take the lead and say, I am going to actually rearrange my life. See, I keep going back to that thing about rearranging life. But I'm going to rearrange my life so that my relationship with God is a priority. Relationships take time. See, that's the very bottom line thing. You need to be able to say, I am going to spend time with God. Let me read some verses. In 1 Peter, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. Be intentional about pursuing it. When I say peace, and we use the word shalom as peace, what we're really saying is let him pursue things the way they were meant to be. Because if you live according to the way they were meant to be, the byproduct is peace. So what you want to do is you want to pursue living the way it was meant to be so that you can enjoy the peace that passes understanding. Now understand how it's said there. Pursue it. That means uncover it. Look for it. Find it. All right? So pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Look, those who pursue it, God says, I will show you favor for pursuing it. You know, one of the verses I love is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And what does the rest of it say? He is the rewarder, right? Of those who do what? Who do what? Diligently seek him. That's intentional. You know what, man? I am glad that verse didn't say he is the rewarder of those who find him. He said he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know why he didn't say it's those who find him? Because he made another promise. If you seek me, you'll find me. When you start focusing on the wrong order, you're in trouble. My job is to diligently seek God. Honestly seek God. That's my job. Do you know what else? I can do that. I mean, I might not be able to change the world. I can do that. See, God made it simple. All he asked me to do is seek him. You know, when I was younger, I remember it was a dilemma. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you got it all figured out. But I had two little girls in the house. I'm ministry expanding, business expanding for you, possibly whatever. Just busy. I mean, I got a lot of things to do. Who has time to seek God, really? I mean, I got other things I got to seek. And Satan's going, you bet, man. You do. I remember it wasn't until I got intentional. I'm going to read the Bible through every year, cover to cover. Intentionality. I'm going to do that. Let's see. My girls, I'm reading the Bible, and I tell them, stay away from me. I'm meeting with God. No, that doesn't work when they're 3 years old. So what I have to do is get up when they're sleeping. Why? I have to be intentional. In other words, I had to change what I did, and if I'm intentional, I had to change how I lived so that I could actually achieve what God put in my heart to do. And if I'm going to seek him, I need to be intentional about seeking him. And that might mean get up early, stay up late, don't eat lunch because I want to, but I'm going to be intentional about it. And the Bible makes it very clear, when you're intentional about seeking God, you will find him. When an individual comes to me and says, you know, I don't know, God seems absent. You're not seeking him. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Because he's promises. What do you mean? I open the Bible. No, you know what you're doing probably? You're probably opening the Bible saying, well, I better have my 15-minute quickie devotion or I'll get struck by lightning before I get to work. And you have that. That's not seeking God. That's like, I better do this or I'm dead meat. Seeking God is saying, God, how'd you make me? What opportunities do you have for me today? God, what are you doing with me in this pottery thing? I mean, that's seeking God. Not a quickie devotion so he doesn't make your day go bad. See, God has no desire to make your day go bad, by the way. He has the opposite. He desires to make your day rich, full, purposeful, significant, secure. Oh, you may not get it all the time, but he does. It's important. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. See, God's intentional. He came to seek us, too. Very important we understand the intentionality part. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Who said that? Jesus. What are the kingdoms of the world trying to get? Food, clothing, shelter. Oh, you know what? That's not evil. No, neither was meat offered to idols. We're not talking about whether food is evil or clothes are evil here. In fact, you need food, you need shelter, that's a given. And I'm sorry, Paul, you have a problem with that? Yeah, Paul has a problem with something back there. And you guys can ask him later what it is. What's really interesting to me is that what we do is we begin to forget that we have a Heavenly Father who will provide for us. How many when you were young, you were really worried and seeking, you know, to make sure that you had food and clothes and shelter? I mean, I didn't think about it a bit. Why? That's not my job. My job was to go out and throw snowballs at my buddies. Because it was my mom and dad's job to make sure I had that stuff done. You know, I didn't have to deal with it. As I pursued being part of the Wager family, my parents took care of that other junk. And what's really interesting is that God is saying, look, there's something that those people, the porridge people, there's something the porridge people live for. It's the now. It's the immediate. It's the clothes. It's the porridge people's life. Guess what? You're mortgaging your future on that one. What I made you to do is seek my kingdom. And by the way, when you seek my kingdom, you'll be okay. The rest of that stuff, somehow it'll make it. Again, I don't want to keep, I know my life best, so I hope you're not saying I'm holding it up. I'm just telling you stories from it. You know, I started here, 81. My dad told me, you know, trust God, $150 a month salary, that kind of thing. How am I ever going to have a house? How am I ever going to be okay? How am I ever going to make it? And my dad was a man really of faith. I mean, one of the few that I met that really was. He said, well, I'd seek first the kingdom and those things God promised. Now, to what level? The American question. You know, we might say, well, I'm suffering because I only have this many square foot house or whatever. You know, the truth happened, though, exactly as my dad said. As I sought God, eventually I needed a house. And it was during the Jimmy Carter years, those of you that remember that. Interest rates were like 19% for a house. I'm making 100, and at that time I was making $300 a month, and I needed to buy a house. I wouldn't have been able to afford anything. You know that the government kicked in, gave me a 1% loan for a house. It was paid off. Someone came up later and paid it off. At 57 years old today, I'm completely out of debt. I'm a rich guy. You know why? Because God doesn't lie. Now, if you were to see my house, I have some friends over that come over, and their houses are like 8 times as big as mine. I don't care. God didn't say he'd give me a house 8 times as big as mine. What he said was, seek me first, and I will take care of the other junk in your life. And I want to tell you that I'm a testament to the fact that he doesn't lie. I have a house. I have a car that's paid for. I have clothes on my back. I have food in my stomach. I do not need to seek those things. My Father knows that I need them. He will make sure I get them. Wow, that's powerful. See, again, I'm trying to simplify it for you. What happens if I have to do all this shenanigans, if that's even a word for this, to try and get clothes and housing and the right food? I'm spending all kinds of energy going nowhere, actually. I'm spinning. You know what I get to do? I get traction. I get to go somewhere with the energy I have. Because I'm not dealing with the things I don't need to deal with. God's going to deal with it. It doesn't mean I don't have to make decisions in that area. I mean, I do. However, they're pretty simple. Because there's a love, the love, liberty, love, experience. I can just go through that and go, what's best here? How can I use the house to love people? How can I use, you know, I understand I'm not going to be better or worse because God loves me no matter what. So I get to make decisions in the realm of truth. And you know what? I probably build my house. I don't want this house. I'd like a little different house. I don't know. I'm just thankful. Because my Heavenly Father, he gave it to me. You know, there have been times in the last few years, I'm getting old and more sentimental. So when I came here in 1968, none of these buildings were here. So there's a story behind every single one of them. And I honestly sometimes collapse out on the ground and just cry. Because I know how these things came to be. Where many others have not known it. I mean, you come here and think, oh, there's this big machine here and it's all taken care of. And, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, if you only know how many days I think, God, we're not going to make it till tomorrow. Because we don't have any money left. We don't have anything. And yet God says, are you seeking me right now or what? Gotcha. Gotcha. I got a job to do, don't I? And he goes, so how would you use that to seek me? Here's how I know, God. We could use the situation we're in to show people who you are. That's how bad it is. He goes, bingo, why don't you do that? And I've shared this with you before, but it's still in my heart. So the David and Goliath story is what presses me. David went to Goliath one day and said, today I'm going to feed your bones to the birds. You could have liked that one. Yeah. Today I'm going to feed your bones to the birds. And then he pauses, and he's in my own version, you have to go look at it. But he said, because you don't know God, but you will today. And I'm thinking, that little, you know, wow. He's taking on Goliath saying, pal, you don't know God, but when I'm done with you, you will. Who's got the courage for that kind of stuff? Honestly. But then he doesn't stop there. He looks back at his brothers, and he says, and today, right now, today, you will learn that God doesn't win with swords and spears. And I'm thinking, you are one bold young man. Either that or you know something. And he did know something. He knew God. And what was very cool is he took a stone and he threw it. And Goliath came down and he met God that day and he knew who God was. And the Philistines knew who God was. And his brothers and the king learned that God doesn't work with swords and spears. You know, that story is so important to me, besides my name being David, is the fact that that's what God's put on my heart to do the rest of my life, is to take a place like this, and no matter what the circumstances are, to say, if you don't know Jesus, watch us. Because when you're done, you're going to. Because the way we act, and because what goes on here, and you know, so many times when things are falling apart here and they don't have any human reason to work, we have some secular purveyors or business guys here working with us. We get to show them how God works. And while they're here, they have to meet God. Because there's no other explanation. Likewise, the Christians and the believers, the churches that come through. It's like, man, we're doing all this, we're doing this. And I'm sitting there thinking, do you know that God doesn't work through swords and spears? Oh, he may use swords and spears, believe me, but when you start depending on the sword or the spear, you need to learn that's not how it works. And so when I walk around this property, I remember things like my dad putting stakes in the ground for buildings and having no money, but telling me that's where that one's going. And within a year, it was there. I remember walking into banks with him, and the bank president would always call him in the office up here. They knew him by name. Well, he'd go in and say, I got no money, I got nothing. I got this dream. And he'd walk out with a loan. And the bank presidents were always kind of, we'll see. Because back then, believe me, the bank president owned the bank in our area. Do you know that he would take out a 20-year loan and pay it in 5? That's why every time he wanted a loan, he walked in that bank, that president came out of his office. And I'm thinking, man, my dad's a big shot. And my dad goes, nah. Wrong big shot guy. I don't have anything. See, I knew something. I knew my dad didn't have any money. What do these guys that have money treat you like you're important for? Because my father has money. You know what I learned through that is that every interaction for me with the business community, with Silver Tranche, I get to sit down and explain to them what we're about. This last week, I was able to go into our bank president because our CFO died. And we have to change names and everything. And I asked if I could meet with him. Now, normally you go to the business person. I said, no, I'm going to the president. I want to go talk to him again about what we do. And I did. And he had his slotted for 15 minutes, and an hour 15 later, he was giving us a tour of the place. You see, all of a sudden it turned into a relationship rather than just a business transaction. And my goal is that he sees God, because that's what God wants me to do. I know this is Goliath. Who gets to walk into a bank president's office and say, you need Jesus? Who am I to do that? I don't even have any money to do that. I'm not even a rich, powerful guy. But you know, I got to do that. I got to do that when my dad died. I got to do that. See, every single time we've gone through a transition, when we bought that property up north, Berta, the one who was our CFO, and I went into the bank president again and told her, here's what we're about. The lady who died, who used to own the property, before she died, I said, here's why we want to buy it. And every single step along the way, I was saying, God, I got to tell people about you. Why? Because if they don't know you, they need to see you. And if they do know you, they need to be encouraged that you don't win by swords and spears. That's intentionality as you get to know God. How do you end up trusting somebody? You know them. That's all. Now, see, even every human that you ever know, you know there's this element that they could disappoint you. I mean, you know that. But that's not God. There is no element there. There is no way that he will do wrong. There is no way that he will fail. No way. And that's what I know about him. So what I need to do is allow God to take me and make me who I am, whatever pot he wants, and in the process show the world who he is through that. I happen to have this to do it with. Paul's got politics and vacuum cleaners. I don't even know how those mix, except for they both suck wind, I guess. I'm sorry. That just slipped out. That's why you don't trust people. All right. Yeah, I know. This could go on forever. Let's just stop it. I think one of the other things that the first point simply this morning is you need to be intentional about loving God. And if you're not, you won't. I'm sorry. Satan is actually smarter than you, and he knows how to get you. And what you need to be able to do when Satan comes at you is be able to point and say, I'm with him, meaning God. And God looks at him. Like, if I'm going to go fight somebody, I want Baldwin with me, with every gun he's got. And then if someone comes after me, I'm going, I'm with him. You know, he'll protect me. And probably when you protect people, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, they're supposed to look at you and go, I'm not touching him. You know, somehow. I imagine that's the scenario. But I tell you what, when Satan tries to attack me, and I get out of the way and go, by the way, I'm with him. What has he got to attack? It's like, loser. And you know what? I don't have to say loser because I'm so good. Because he can beat me. It goes back to that little thing. I am a child of the king. Wow. I'm with him. Now, if I don't know him, see, I'm worried. I'm worried about finance, all that stuff. So I'm intentional about spending time with him. The only protection that Dave Wager has in his life comes from God. I need to be with him. And if I let that lapse, man, if you let anything else lapse in your life, let your TV lapse, let your anything else lapse, but do not allow your time with God to ever lapse. Don't let that happen. You will not regret that. The second thing I want to do is be intentional with my resources. I want to have no regret. Now, when I say resources, I don't just mean money. Each of us has resources. God, you know what God does? He takes our resources, like the widow's mite, man, and he just, bam, he just goes way beyond anything you could ever do with them. It's not for you to make sure the resources are making the most out of it. It is for him to do that. You know, it's very interesting. One day I want to stand before God and have no regrets. And I know that I already do, so I don't know how that works, except for the fact that I'm counting on his mercy and his grace. And I know if I'm going to have no regrets, then I need to live in a certain way today so that when I meet him, I have no regrets. I mean, that's all. In Luke, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Just think about that phrase in a minute. Is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? You know, honestly, being a dad of two daughters, I have great pleasure in providing for them. I do. I have great pleasure in giving to them. It is one of the things, my wife has to stop me, I will spoil them, you know, but I have great pleasure. Here's what happens. As they do right, as they live right, I will tell you this, I will do everything I can to help provide for them. If they're loving God and walking with him, one of the greatest joys in my life is to help them. And that's how God is. As I live my life right, as I love him, one of the greatest joys I believe in God's life is to make my life significant. Fear not, little flock. Remember I told you we were sheep? Connotates for following. Connotates for following him. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourself money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys, for your treasure is, there your heart is also. I really have been upset through the years as evangelicals take this verse and just talk about money with it. It says where your treasure is, your heart is. You could be treasuring things other than money. In fact, here it indicates it's not money. It's because you're supposed to treasure things you take with you. Well, you're not taking money with you. And it doesn't say the opposite. It says where your treasure is, your heart is. It doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure is. And that's on purpose. Because, see, it's an evaluator for me. Because I can tell you this. I can tell you in life, you know, this is important to me, this is important to me. Really? Do you spend any time there? Do you put any resources in it? How important is it? I have people tell me they love God. Do you meet with them? No. You don't love God. Oh, you're so judgmental. Everything's got to be so easy, black and white. No, I'm just dumb. And the truth of the matter is, it's not rocket science to know that if you don't spend any time with God, you don't love him. I mean, how hard do we have to make this? See, spend time with God. And when you do, you'll love him and you'll know him. And really, we have to understand we do have resources in life. We do, all of you. Some of you have time. Maybe you're retired, have time. We all have time, actually, to a certain degree. Some people have more. Some have resources financially. Some have resources skill-wise. I am one who is just a huge fan of the body of Christ. Because there's so much I don't know, and there's so many guys that really know. And I love it when the body of Christ operates. And if you come to our staff, our staff's unusual. Our average full-time person's here over 20 years now. And in most ministries, when we started camping, it was 17 months. It was the average. We're over 20 years. One of the things I find is that what I need to do as the guy who's in charge and trusted with it is to find the different body parts and let them function. You know, I cannot... I put a shelf up once for Steve Sanford in his office. It fell and crushed his computer. If you want to see the maintenance guy scramble, just I'll have a hammer or a screwdriver and be walking around. And they will scramble. They'll say, "What are you doing?" "I'm going to do this. I'll take care of it. It'll be done by lunch." Because they know I'll do it. But they're saying, oh, that's really not your thing, is it? Well, it's not, but nobody else is doing it, so I'll do it. Did you notice how this projector got in real quick yesterday? That's because I went and told Brad, I'll take care of it. And as soon as I said it, he goes, well, we'll get it done. You know what? I'm really not afraid to try it. But we have a body here. There are people, some of you can do things that are so easy compared to me. You know, I think of, I'm trying to work on this Omega Force thing where I get people to think with no regrets about the end. You know what, though? I'm not a marketer guy. I'm really not. I'm a teacher. One day a marketer guy is going to come and say, I'll take that. That's my ministry. I'll do that. I'll make sure this gets out. And you know what I do? I said, great, man. Take it and run. I've done it with every ministry here. If you want to know about Nicolay Bible, some of you have asked me, and I said, you need to talk to Steve Sanford. Don't you teach in it? Are you in charge? Yeah, but he's in charge of that. Why? We got a body here. And I really want the body to function. And when I let the body function, it's really cool. What I find is that we can treasure the things that God wants us to treasure. We can treasure people, the love. We can treasure the body part that they are. We can encourage that body part. We can try and make it the best it can be at what it does. We need to be people who are intentional with our resources and not just passive. Because otherwise, we're not going to accomplish what God wants us to. As we're intentional with our time, we need to be. You know, I mean, we all have time. I love it when somebody comes into my office or I get to meet them and they say, I just don't have time. Normally what I do is I'll whip out a calculator and all my guys that I mentor know, don't get them there. Because he's going to ask you how you spend your life and he's going to prove to you that you do have time. And the funny thing is, I don't even know anything except for I pull out a calculator and here's what I know. You're wasting a tremendous amount of time. Because you're human. You have time to do what God made you to do. Now you, again, may need to be intentional about dismissing other things in your life that are just there. See, that's where the good, better, best thing comes. It's not, you know, some of you say, I love golf. You don't have to golf every weekend. I mean, I'm not saying that's a law of liberty. Golf isn't going to, you know, cause one thing or another. But maybe that golf thing every weekend is causing you to miss your family and maybe miss ministry after, maybe miss... See, maybe you need to adjust intentionally what you're doing with your time. See, Satan loves to get in and make all this stuff irrelevant. But see, when you add it all up, it actually goes somewhere. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom. Number our days. Yeah, you know, I don't know. My brother makes fun of me sometimes because I eat somewhat healthy, and he goes, you're going to live 4 minutes longer than I am because you eat healthy. And we both know the theology of it. You know, I think that what we do is the good, better, best thing. I think you live in the scope of what you know, but God is the one that has a date. I know that. And so what I want to do is I want to live as the pottery and make sure that I am just subject to him and whatever he wants me to do. And on the date I'm out of here, I'm out of here. It doesn't matter what I want to do. I'm out of here on that date. And so what I want to do then is say, okay, after this day, however many days I've got one less. I think I need to manage that well. You know what? I think Satan has worked in our culture and said, basically, be passive about it, man. Go home, flip on the tube, don't have a plan, waste hour upon hour upon hour upon hour. Just waste it. Why? Because at the end of this wasted day, you have one less. And maybe I can make you just waste your days if you won't just really do something destructive. Maybe I can get you to just waste them instead. And at the end of your life, you look back on it, you go, what did I accomplish? And you didn't accomplish what you could have. Because basically you weren't intentional about time. You see, being intentional about your relationship with God and people, and being intentional about your use of resources, money, time. See, that's important, the intentionality part of it. See, I can get into the theology part of it too, but in that, I mean, we have a country that thinks, okay, well, 10% of my money is God, 90% is mine. And I would argue with you, it's not. 100% of it's his. We give the first 10% because that's the hardest 10% to give. Because that reminds us, we give him the best bull because we're not trusting that bull for our herd. But I think God manages it all. I mean, it's his, all of it. Remember, I seek him and he takes care of that stuff anyway. What if could I give so much that now I'm not cared for? Oh, I challenge the Father on that one. Say, God, can I give so much away of my time and my money? Can I give so much that you have depleted your resources to care for me? Mm-mm. Not going to happen. Not in this life. Not in the next one either. Because God is going to run out. See, I need to number my days. I need to understand that today, when it's gone, this weekend, I mean, we've met maybe 20 years. I don't know. I know that we don't guarantee it 21st. This could be the last time we're ever together. As a group, up here, we don't know what's going to go on in the future. Let's take advantage of this day that God gives us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's today rejoice and be glad in it. You know, how many days have I wasted moaning and groaning about something? See, Satan goes, I don't care how I get you to waste it. I just don't want you to be really loving God and be productive this day because you got one day less. I don't think Satan knows the day either. I think he knows the principle. Making the best use of time because the days are evil. And that's a pretty, Ephesians 5, that's just a statement. Make the most use of time because the days you're in are evil. So don't be that way. Don't just let them take you. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't do things where your mind gets turned off. Let God control you, your mind, not you. And please, don't give it to a substance. Don't give it to alcohol. Don't give it to drugs. Don't let a substance control your mind. Again, people, when they let that happen, they got 15 minutes where they destroy their whole life. Don't let it do it. See, time's very important, and Satan tries to get us to trivialize it. Be intentional with our time in this way, and just as the appointed man wants to die. The appointed man to die once, and after that comes judgment. See, that makes it very clear. Look, I know that this life on this earth is not going to last forever, and so do you. Whenever somebody dies, and I get to talk to them about either doing the funeral or participating, whatever, you know, one of the things as I talk to them is I try and use funerals. I like funerals better than weddings. Not because of the celebration factor, although some funeral celebration is phenomenal. But because of the fact that it's a one moment in history where people are paying attention again. You know, they're looking at a dead body. Or they're thinking of the deceased one. And for just a moment, there's this window that opens where you can talk to them. And that's what I love about it. I mean, it's... And normally I tell people, you do know that everybody dies, right? Well, yeah. You guys in this room know that everybody's going to die, right? Why aren't we ready for that? See, we know that. And we're going to face God. For some of us, when we face God, that'll be the very first time in our life we were honest. Because he will not accept lies. And we will know that. We've been able to fool our wife and our kids and our boss. We've been able to fool everybody on who we are. But when we stand before God, it's going to be, so you really never spent time with me, did you? In fact, there may be many people, and I gave an invitation last night, you know, Jesus said that many will come to me one day and say, Lord, Lord, they're going to use all the right words. They're going to use Lord. They're going to say, I served you. I did the Sunday school thing. He's going to go, I don't know you. You know, they had the arrangement thing, the religious thing, where they're doing all kinds of things. Law of Liberty says, I don't offer God anything. I just offer my neediness. Now, again, that doesn't mean I live crazy. No, because the law of love and the law of experience is with it. And they all work together. But I know this, that one day, everybody that I have loved, everybody that has lived, everybody I've spoken to, they will not be here anymore on this earth. Now, that's not rocket science or anything else. That's just, hey, pay attention. In fact, here's what I know for sure. If I were to ask you, How many people here actually know that everybody will die? All of you would say, yes, we know that. How many here know that for sure you'll be alive tomorrow night? Nobody. Why is it that we don't live within the certainties? Why is it that we live within the uncertainties? Like, I'm not going to die tomorrow night. I'm not going to die tonight. That's not going to happen to me. The truth of the matter is your death is more certain than your life. So why don't we get ready so that when we face the one who loves us, that we don't hear something like, why wouldn't you let me love you? Why wouldn't you? What got in the way today? Can't you be intentional about letting me love you? Can't you be intentional about your time? Couldn't you be intentional about, why is it that you just let this slip all the time away? You only had so many days. We need to be intentional about understanding. We need to understand what love is. See, sometimes what happens is we use words, but we don't get the meaning. You know, we use words that we create the meaning for. When God says that, and this is what I love, I actually use the program called Olive Tree on all my electronic devices. And I use, you saw up there, if I have a verse a lot of times, it's ESVST. The ST stands for Strong's, that's all. And basically, what it means is that I can touch a word and I can get the original meaning from Strong's right there. And then I have vines attached to it, and those of you that know what I'm talking about, it's a very simple thing. I just hit another button and I go to a word study, right, real quick. So if I'm sitting in your place and I'm speaking, a lot of times what I'm doing is going like this. Because I want to see what the words actually meant, and that kind of thing. I can do it so quickly. There are so many tools for us right now to be able to understand what God's word says. But when God says the word love, see, and love is critical, then we probably should know what he means by it. And we might have something that means something different in our culture or in our time, but we need to know what he means by it. Just very quickly, I'll let you go back and check it out yourself, but I think the book of Job actually covers all that. I think that, to me, the book of Job might have been the oldest book in the Bible, might have preceded every other book by like 500 years, and if you got a book that's going to sit there by itself for a while, and God gave it to us first, you might want to ask why. Well, it's very interesting things in there. But I'll give you a quick summary. I only got 4 points out of the whole book of Job, and I often say that, but, you know, I know Bible scholars roll over when I say that, but I got 4 points out of it. The first one, there is a real war going on. See, between God and Satan, by the way. Not between you and Satan, between God and Satan. You just happen to be one of God, or someone that God loves, so you're in the war whether you like it or not. But it's between God and Satan. That's the one thing, one of the things we forget. I told you, two kingdoms, remember? We can't forget that. So the very first thing God talks about is Satan, God, two kingdoms. And the next thing is, you know what the war is about on this earth? The very concept of love. That's what it's about. Why? Because God comes and he says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He does all the good stuff. And Satan goes, he loves you because you give him stuff. What is Satan doing? He's defining love incorrectly. God says, my own translation, Job knows what love is, take it away. And Job had a very bad day. And at the end of it, he praised God. So Satan, how's your redefinition doing? Not good. But you missed one thing, God. His health. You take his health away, God. He's going to curse you to your face. Oh, so now my love is conditional on the health. My love is conditional on money. My love is conditional on... Take it away. And not only that, his wife gives him the worst advice in history. Curse God and die. How does that make sense to anybody? You want to curse God and face him? We say stupid things when we're under stress. So here's Job. He has the challenge of what love is. Does God love Job? Yes. Satan was counting on us getting it wrong. Not only that, what happened? 3 of his friends come. All 3 friends got it wrong. Job, you must have done something wrong, because here's what we know about love. Now, we're all looking at it going, no, we know the whole story. It has nothing to do with that. All the angels are in Nedra's seat going, it has nothing to do with that. You see, in Job, I see there's a war, two worlds, two kingdoms. It's about love. Somehow, Satan would love you to believe that only when circumstances are making you feel good, only when your sugar daddy has provided, only when you're healthy does God love you. That's a lie. See, there's a bigger plan in all of this. And not only that, 3 out of 4 of your friends don't get it. They're going to come and tell you the same thing. They don't get it. And eventually I see personal responsibility in Job. See, what happened eventually, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but what I think happened was Job was fine with God being random. And I think that ticked God off, because God is not random. That's all. He's never random. There's not a thing he does like, oh, I think I'll just do this for fun. Not happening. You and I might be. He's not. And I think there came a point where Job was fine with God, and I thought that was even noble. But all of a sudden, there's 3 chapters where God hits Job and says, did you make a goat, by the way? Did you ever make a dinosaur? Did you do that? No, no, no is the answer to all that. Like, okay, got it. In other words, I'm not random, Job. And eventually he came to Job and he said this to him. Job, who is it? Who is it that gave you words without understanding? In other words, who are you listening to, man? You know what Job's, you know what I would have said? My 3 bum friends. They're idiots. Strike them with lightning. But you know what Job said? Certainly I believe things too wonderful for me to behold. Or whatever it is. And he said, I repent in dust and ashes. I was wrong, God. Wow. Man, I had every excuse in the book ready. And he said, no. You know what? You guys can believe whatever you want to believe, but take responsibility for it. Don't blame your grandmother, somebody else, the way you grew up. You can believe whatever you want, but there is a truth regardless of what you believe. It's not your belief that creates truth. Truth will stand with or without your belief system. And that's what was going on right there at the beginning. See, there is a war. There are 2 kingdoms. There is this thing called love. You need to adjust to it. What we need to do is be intentional about understanding what God means by the word love. I'm going to summarize very easy for you. Love simply means with God that I listen to him, and with you that I think, what can I do to make your life the best it can be? I try and train young men that way. When they come to NBI, I say, look, I want this to be a safe place. So all of the girls that are in NBI, all of the girls in this class, what I want you to do is get in the habit of looking them in the eye and saying this before you talk to them in your head. What can I do to make this girl's life the best it can be? Not how can I use her for my pleasure? And you keep those eyes looking in her eyes and don't let them wander, and you ask that question. Because when we start getting this thing right, this world in which we live in can be a blast to live in. But when we keep trying to use each other for our own goods and our own pleasure, we destroy this thing. Because we don't understand. Love is not sex. Love is not having a sugar daddy. That's not love. Love is thinking more about others. See, we talk about that with the law of liberty, with the law of love, the law of expedience. That's what it is. So we need to be intentional about looking in the Bible and finding out what the words actually say. I invite you to read the book of Job. It's interesting. Satan is trying to destroy everything that's good, everything that's simple. I mean, for me, it's really that simple. It's I need to spend time with God today. I need to spend time with my wife today. I need to spend time loving people. I need to spend time saying, God, I don't know what you're doing to me today, but have at it. Because at the end of this day, if you have at it, and you know, I don't know how many times I've just seen God work in just miraculous ways, because I've started the day just saying, God, I'm not sure what all of my appointments are about today, but you are, so why don't I just pay attention? And so everything goes through that filter. The filter of, why did I meet this guy today, God? Why did this person come into my life? God, what? Now all of a sudden, my whole day, I'm thinking of, why am I here, God? I know I'm not an accidental blob of protoplasm. I know I am not here to just satisfy my, I'm not a porridge people. I'm not here for that. No, you're there to love, Dave. And by the way, remember little David? That's what you're there for. Anyone that doesn't know Jesus today that you meet, I want them to be confronted by me. Would you let me do that with you? And those that do know Jesus, I want them to be confronted by me today, by your life. Would you let me do that? You know, sometimes people don't like that. They stone you for that. Or they cut you in half or something. Sometimes they do. Sometimes it's Ezekiel and a Jeremiah thing. Sometimes, you know, Ezekiel was told by God, I want you to go talk to these people, say this, do this, do this. And by the way, nobody's listening. And I would be raising my hand right away to God saying, can I have another assignment? It's got to be one where somebody listens. And then I would be confronted by saying, okay, you're God, I'm Dave, I better listen. Because I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how many times we as Christians just make up things. You know, if you don't know how it works, say you don't know how it works. My goodness, I still can't figure out the Ezekiel thing. Why, God, would you put somebody doing all those crazy things and have nobody respond? Well, one day he'll tell me. I don't know. Maybe it was just to make sure they all had an opportunity. I don't know. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, what in the world are you doing with him? Why isn't it that when I just speak for God that it doesn't like work the way it should, I would think, all the time, and everyone just responds to God and wow, they carry me out on their shoulders. Why does it not work that way? Dave, is this your fight or mine? It's yours and Satan's. Then get out of the way, would you? You just be with me. I'll make you into who I want. You make yourself available every day. And I'll make you into who I want you to be. You focus on what you can do, not what you can't. And here's what you can do. You can walk with me today. You focus on that because you can do that. But you can't change that heart over there. You couldn't if you tried. So quit thinking about that. Here's what I'll do. You walk with me, I'll use you to change that heart. But I'm going to do the changing. You walk with me. You do what you can do. You know how relieving that is to me? I mean, I grew up at a time where evangelism was kind of pressure. You better go tell this person to turn or burn, man. And you better do it, you know, 10 times a day to somebody. And I'm not against it. If that's what I do, do it. But the bottom line is, I am not going to cause anybody to change. But God will. And don't you think it's a privilege if he calls your number? Don't you think that's the privilege? Then you get to be a part of it. See, I think Satan's trying to attack who God is. He's trying to attack who he is. He's, you know, he wants to make him that sugar daddy in the sky, the guy who, prosperity gospel, he wants that. Satan's trying to attack who man is. He's trying to attack the idea of me being somebody who really, we almost don't like the idea that I'm depraved, that my neediness is all, you know, we want to fight that. We want to be somehow worthy. And so he attacks that. Satan attacks how we enter into a relationship with God. See, he wants us to think it's an arrangement. He wants us to think there's levels of arrangement so that we're in God's family. So he attacks that. Satan attacks how we enjoy the relationship with God. See, he attacks the enjoyment factor with God. You know, I don't have to come to God and pretend I'm anybody I'm not, because he knows who I am. And you know, he knows who I am and he still loves me. I'm afraid that sometimes, and that's maybe our men problem, but I'm afraid that sometimes what happens is that I think that I can't tell and be real to God because then he would be shocked. That's not how it is. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I need to be intentional. Here's how I can love you today. I can love you by loving God. And if I love God and walk with him, as I have an opportunity to interact with you, it could be significant. Not because of Dave Wager, but because of God. Man, one of the things that is so important to me, and what I really want to kind of emblazon into your brain, is that God has not asked you to do anything you cannot do. You can choose to be intentional about meeting with him. You can. You can be intentional about listening. You can be intentional about loving other people. You can do those things. Maybe we need to refocus a little bit and bring it into a level where we can do it. Because if you keep trying to do things that you know you can't, discouragement sets in. The front of your skis get caught in the snow and you start spinning. You start gathering many resources and things, and you have buildings and edifices and programs, but nothing coming out of it. And you get discouraged and you start to believe there is no way to change anything. I want to tell you something. I honestly believe that in my human flesh there's no way to change anything. But I believe that we could still change the nation, because God could if he chooses to. And all I'm doing is staying close to him and asking him, if you want to use me, go ahead. But if you don't want to use me, that's your prerogative. That's not my pressure. My pressure is to love God and walk with him. And as I do that, believe me, Satan shows up and tries to stop me from doing that. Then you say, I have a tough time. Look, I have a tough time. I'm narcoleptic. Don't tell me you have a tough time staying awake or reading. I understand that. Whatever your situation is, I know that God gave us something we can do, not stuff we can't. And I am begging you to refocus on what you can do and start focusing less on what you cannot do, because you will just get stuck otherwise. I need to be one who loves. I must. I need to be available. Finally, brothers, here's what I want you to do. In Philippians 4:8, something I can do. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You notice it says, think about these things. Remember I told you hours of influence? They matter. Satan works from the porridge people. He works from the body to capture the mind. God works from the mind to free the body. Some of you are asking, how do we know what's best? Right here. Here it is. Here's what's best. Love God. Love people. You do those two things. Just do two things in life. Just those two. That's what's best. And not only that, if you're wondering how it plays out, Paul says in Philippians, okay, look at something. Is it true? Well, sure. No, no. Is it really true? Truth has its own. I'm not saying you believe it. I'm saying, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it pure? You might say, is it pure? You know, you can't be sort of Christian, kind of Christian, almost Christian. That doesn't work. You can't be 99.9% pure. Doesn't work. That's not pure. That's a new definition. So if it's pure, I tell you, I was at a house once, and again, forgive me for stories, you guys have been around a lot, but kids were trying to decide what movie to go watch, and typical fight between the high school kids and the parents. And the kids saying, well, mom's saying, you're not going to see that one. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, and I'm just a guest, and I'm in the corner because they're yelling at each other. And finally, what would you say, Dave? I wish you wouldn't have asked me that. But I said, well, just in general, I just asked God which movie would honor him, and then go. And it was just dead quiet in there for a second. And then the high school kid said, nah, we don't do that. And he went on. And he went to a movie. Yeah, see, how weird is that to ask? What would honor my father? You know, I loved my human dad. I did. Do you know that I never, ever got a spanking growing up? My brother got beat the tar out of him, but I didn't. You know the difference? It's really personality. I'd like to take credit for it, but it isn't. I was crushed when my dad was disappointed in me. And he knew that. He didn't need to do anything more. I mean, that was enough. I want to stay that way with my Heavenly Father too. I don't want to have him to beat me into subjection. I want to live in a way where when I don't please him, it bothers me. It doesn't bother me necessarily I did wrong. It bothers me that I didn't please my Father. Because when I live to please my Father, I will do the best I can with the people in my life then too. See, this ministry of Sober Trance is really not about people. It's about God. And what God does is make it about people then in the right way. So you can say, you said it's not about people. Well, it isn't. It's really about God. The YMCA is about people. The Boy Scouts, they're about people. But Silver Trance is about God. Your church should be about God. And then what happens? Then you become about people in the right way. I really don't want to just feed hungry people. What I want to do is bring them to Christ. And then, by the way, I have an obligation to feed hungry people. One of those things. But it's not just about leaving God out and taking care of people. It's about what's the best thing I can do for you. You know, the best thing I can do for you is make sure that you are loving God and walking with him no matter what happens in the future, because I don't know what's happening. You'll be okay then. That's the best. Are there good things I could do? Sure, I could feed you too. But I don't want to focus on just the good when I should be focusing on that best. And how's the best way for me to do that? Me to love God. So today I have to make sure, as I got up early this morning, to just spend time loving on God. To just talk to him. To just hear his voice. Because if I don't do that, I have nothing to offer you. Human wisdom, whatever, garbage. You can go get, you know, Ann Landers, Oprah, line them up. They can all give you advice. I'm not giving you advice here. I'm telling you what God says. I'm not asking you to put your belief system in a place where you say, okay. If you don't agree with God, you're wrong. You see, if you're mad at God, you don't know him. Everything is answered by seeking him. And when you seek him, you'll find him. So the buzzword for this morning, intentionality, that's all. If you want to know God, please seek him. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. You will find him. He's promised. And when you find him, it changes everything about your life today. It changes everything about your money. It changes everything about your, you know, I don't know how many Christians I've walked into and I just ask them, do you really believe in God? I mean, I've had people walk up to me up here, 3 years, I have a lot of experience in the years, and they'll say, you know what, we got this van and it's not safe for our family anymore. Can I donate it here? Sure. And as soon as it gets here, we're going to drive your kids around in it. We don't want your van. Well, you ungrate. I don't want your van. We had a guy once, and there's someone who wanted to donate us a nice pickup truck. And a businessman was up here, and his pickup truck was older, and he goes, you know what? If they do that, I'll trade you. You don't need one that good. I had a guy recently, he has a big backhoe laying in his backyard and doesn't know what to do with it. I said, man, we could use that if it's just sitting there. He goes, oh, that's much too good for you guys, that one. Exact words. I knew what he meant because I've been here a while. You know what you need? You need stuff that just doesn't work well. Stuff that the people who really make money and enjoy life, you know, you don't really have money, so you can't go out and do that. I'm not even mad at him, by the way. It's like, do you know my Father? Because my Father doesn't need your money or your gift to take care of us. And you watch. With or without your back hole, we're going to dig holes. We may do it with 30 high school kids and shovels. But we will get the hole dug. Because my Father will provide for us. You just missed out on the blessing. Because you think that your money and your resources are something you earned and you deserve. Sorry. That's not the way it is. I know I didn't read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. But the truth of the matter is, you know, deep in my heart, it really is not about whether you help support this place or not. It's about whether you walk with God. And if you give an indication of that you're not walking with God, my obligation is not to try and make you okay. My obligation is to bring you back to Jesus. And I get to do that whether you want to donate or whether you don't want to donate or whatever else, because it's all part of life. Sometimes I wish I could take the hat off of the, you know, you're in charge of the place, so you could say what you need to say. It's important that we're intentional about loving God. You guys can do this. You can love Him. But you can't if you don't spend time. You can't if you just play games. You have to change something if you're not spending time with Him. You have to change something. And that's what you need to talk to each other about. What is it that will change so that you start doing what you should do? Because that's intentionality. You say, well, I don't want to be legalistic. Don't throw that word around. That has something totally a different connotation. That has to do with saying I'm going to be good enough so God likes me better, etc. That's baloney. We already talked about the law of liberty. You know that's not true. What I'm saying is take the mask off and start being intentional. And if you're not intentional, you need to talk to another guy and make a plan so that you will spend time with God. If you're not spending time with your wife or children, you need to change what you're doing. Now, you may not take less profit from the business. Go ahead. Do something different so that the relationships in life do not suffer, because there's three laws that are going to take effect. The law of liberty and the law of love and the law of expedience. And if you don't abide by those, then your life will not work. You'll be trying to take off in an airplane while ignoring the law of gravity. Won't work. You have to abide by it. And when you do, and you're intentional about it, God works. I tell you, I don't know what God's going to do in the future, but I am really excited about the fact that I just get to be with Him. And whatever He does, He will do. I'm just a lump of clay. And I get to present this lump of clay to Him. And He gets to do with it as He pleases. And in the end, I know sometimes it's painful because He smashes it back down and redoes it. But in the end, I'm going to be a vessel, man. That God says, that's my boy right there. And my job is to look like Him. And to act like Him. And to represent Him well. That's my job. I can do that. I can do that. I could never get the Packers to have a good defense. But I could do that. So I'm going to concentrate on what I can do. And I want you to do the same. Father, thank You that we could meet. Thank You for this weekend. I thank You for this group of men. I thank You for Faith Church. I pray Your blessing upon each leadership. Give them direction. Allow this group to be a light in Wisconsin and around the world to who You are. Let us continue to understand the law of liberty, the law of love, the law of expedience, and make it something that we're intentional about applying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. Just to say that you're coming up to Silver Birds, I just love this place. A couple of times we've gone to a